Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Oh Lord, we are gathered together in thy house of worship, a building that has been dedicated to come to and to worship thee and to assemble together. And Lord, we thank thee for that opportunity that we have. We pray, oh Lord, that as we sit around thy word for learning, that thy spirit would speak mightily to each of our heart, that we would feel thy presence, that we would feel thy nearness, and through thy presence and nearness, O Lord, grant us that victory which we all so desire. We pray, Heavenly Father, that thou bless our gathering together, and as we lift our thoughts and our prayer up to thee, O Lord, look down upon us with grace and favor. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this afternoon's reading, with God's help, let's turn to the first epistle of Peter, chapter number 2. The first epistle of Peter, chapter number 2. I desire to read the first 10 verses. Ljubazno želim da se pročita iz prve poslanice Petrove, druge glave, prvi 10 brojeva. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. God bless our reading, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. We started and opened the service with a hymn that we're in prayer that our spirit would open our eyes, and what will we see? We see Jesus. Jesus crucified. But we also know that John, in the book of Revelation, it tells us here that he looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and he heard a voice. It says, come up hither. It's just like this, the hymn we sang. Oh, lift up mine eyes, my spirit, and behold this wonder great. See thy God, the heavenly ruler crucified. John here sees one who sits on the throne. He says, immediately I was in the spirit. When he was invited, he immediately went in the spirit and he saw one sitting upon the throne. When we are in the Spirit, we will see our God sitting upon the throne. We will see our God crucified. And dear ones, I believe that oftentimes our defeats in our life, our utter defeats that we experience over and over throughout our lives, comes from the fact that we're not in the Spirit. And if we're not in the Spirit, we don't see one sitting upon the throne. We don't see one dying on the cross to make it possible for us to see him on the throne. And by doing that, dear ones, by not being in the Spirit, by not looking up, by not lifting up our eyes, we lose out on the blessings that come through being in the Spirit. And it is in seeing Jesus on the cross and on the throne that gives us the ability to overcome all things. Gives us the ability to understand and do these things that we have read here, where Peter is exhorting us earlier to brotherly love and now on to a living of how we are to conduct ourselves toward our God and later on towards other believers. But here he says, lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. He is telling us here that we are to avoid anything that will stand between our God, to block that vision of him on the cross and him on the throne. To avoid those things in life, in our everyday life, but to also, if we have them in our hearts, because he's speaking here of things that are in the heart, those things have to be rooted out. You can't make progress. We can't make progress in our spiritual walk. I can't lay aside hypocrisy and envies. Think about envy, what that is. That's the sin. That's the sin that created the first murder. What did his brother do wrong? What did the brother do wrong? What did Abel do? He served his Lord. And that created an envy. Something that Cain hated his brother for, because he saw something good in him. And he envied him. He didn't want that because it made him look bad. And so he killed him. So we see what envy does, Jesus talked about hypocrisies, about to the Pharisees, of how they are acting and what they're pretending to be, and their heart is far from that. He's saying to us, lay those things aside. Malice. To have malice towards someone, this is an inner feeling. You may not actually do any malice to someone. That's not enough. No, he says, lay aside the malice. In other words, root it out of your heart, because you won't see me, Jesus says, if it's in your heart. So he says, lay aside these things. Lay aside the malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings. You know, what are evil speakings? I don't think we need a lesson on evil speakings. And then he says, as a newborn babe, because none of us can do what the first verse is laying aside for us. None of us can do that. Matter of fact, we all fall back into that over and over again. And it's because we don't pray to the Spirit, lift up mine eyes. Let me see this wonder that Jesus Christ is on the cross, crucified for me. Let me see him on the throne where he sits and reigns as the chief priest, the advocate, the one who prays for you and me. Do we want to see him? Because in seeing him, dear ones, we're being called now to something. To this we have laid out for us. As a newborn babe, the only way that we can become, as we are being exhorted to become, is through a new birth. It's a new birth, and in that, and as newborn babes, we have to desire the sincere milk of the word. We know, dear ones, a baby does not grow unless he is fed milk, or she. A baby will grow when it is fed, and it grows. And a baby makes it known when it's hungry. He cries out, and you have to feed him. Is our desire for the sincere milk of the word such as a newborn baby crying for his milk? Desiring it, needing it, just only wants his milk. And it is in that desire that we have as a born-again believer. If I expect to grow in Christ, I have to be fed. To be fed, I have to be fed of the sincere milk of the word. Nothing short of that will allow me to grow. There's no book in the world that can make me grow like the word, the sincere milk of the word of God. Because the word of God is Christ himself. And he is our only source of growth and prosperity in our spiritual walk. He says that you may grow thereby. What constitutes growth? It would be alarming. A baby, when he's born, they're awfully cute. And we love to see them. But in 20 years, we don't expect them to be a baby anymore. There's an expectation. As they grow, they develop, they mature. So that also that we are to grow by nothing other than the word of God. And in growing, dear ones, we do the very things that we are exhorted through the scripture, through his word, to do. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone. So it speaks of Christ here as a living stone. And listen to what it says there. Disallowed indeed of men, or rejected of men. The living stone is rejected by man. And dear ones, any one of us who have heard the sincere milk of the word of God and reject it, we are the same way as those who have crucified him. We are the ones who have actually crucified him. And so he's saying here that as coming unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and he is precious. Now he says, you also. It establishes that Christ is the rock, a living stone. Now he says, you also, you, brothers, sisters, you are also what? The same as Christ. Lively stones. That's what he told Peter. You are a rock. You are Peter, a rock. You are part of the church now. You and I, brothers and sisters, are part of God's church. Lively stones were built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. We're not of the tribe of Levi, but we are priesthood. We are a holy priesthood. Not a ritual one, but a holy one. To offer up not ritual sacrifices, but spiritual ones. So what is a spiritual sacrifice? Do we ever feel that we are is a sacrifice only to sing? Is a spiritual sacrifice only to pray? Is a spiritual sacrifice understood by us that everything that is contained in the milk of the Word, everything that the Lord has laid out for us to embrace that, to embrace it, and live accordingly is a spiritual sacrifice. Do His will is a spiritual sacrifice. Doing those things which He commands us to do. And doing those things, we are lively stones built up together, building up a spiritual house upon none other than Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Dear ones, we know that Jesus spoke those very words about building a house. Building a house that you could build it on sand, you could build it on a foundation. And the houses look good. They both are going. There's no problem. There's no problem. The houses are going up, and they look great. One is deceived, but he's building. He's building, but he's deceived. What is the deceit? He has rejected Jesus Christ. How? How could I have rejected Jesus Christ if I'm building a spiritual house? If I'm not building it upon His Word, I'm deceived. I can claim Him. I can claim Him. But it means nothing. And so He says, lay aside malice. That's building on stone or on sand. Lay aside malice. Lay aside guile. Lay aside hypocrisies. Lay aside envies. Lay aside all evil speakings. Lay those things aside. Your house is going to crumble if you don't lay those things aside. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. And then these spiritual sacrifices are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore it is contained in the Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." Belief in any other will bring nothing but confusion. But the promise is here, if we believe in him, what does that mean? Have faith in him. I have faith in him that if he shows me to lift up mine eyes, to see him on the cross, to see him on the throne, if he lets me see him, and I can only see him through his word, when I am in the word, and I pray to him that he would reveal unto me who he is, I will see him on the cross and I will see him on the throne. I will not be confounded. He gives me the strength. He says, "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious." If you believe, he is precious then to you. He says, "But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And he's a stone of stumbling." So who is he a stone of stumbling to? How can Jesus Christ be one to stumble over? And who stumbles over him? Is there anything in my life because of my lineage, the family I was born into and so on, that I can explain my disobedience to? Can I explain my disobedience to anything? No. If I do, I'm just simply deceived. Because he says, those who are disobedient are the ones who stumble upon him, which means Jesus Christ, my Savior, I'm going to stumble over him. He is a rock of offense to me. I will trip over his teachings. They're not good for me. I will. So I have a reason that I have malice in my heart towards you. I have a reason. What Jesus has laid out, he doesn't know this special situation that approves these evil speakings. Because you're evil, and I'm going to tell everyone you're evil. And so in doing so, dear ones, we are stumbling over him. That which the builders, the stone which the builders disallowed, rejected, has become a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. He is a rock. But to those who are disobedient, he is a rock of offense. He's not a savior. He is one who is in my way. It says, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. To those who stumble are those who disobey. Whereunto also they were appointed. Peter is not speaking here about an election. He's simply speaking of if you reject him, you're appointed to stumble. It's the rejection that appoints us to stumbling. Not the election at all. But you're a chosen generation, he says. And I thought of this chapter because we had this on Friday night in our Bible study here. It was mentioned that what are we called by God? We're called, and brother or someone mentioned, a sister, that we're a chosen generation, that we're a royal priesthood, that we're a holy nation, that we're peculiar people. Why are we those things? Why are we described as that? Can my life, if it's in the light, the marvelous light as it speaks of here later, if my life is shined upon by the marvelous light of the gospel, of the word that is precious to me, of the word that I'm sincerely desiring and wanting and looking for, if that light shines upon my life, does it show me as a chosen generation? A royal priesthood. Christ has become our priest. But he says, you also are priests. So he's a stone, we're a stone. He's a priest, we're priests. What does a priest do? He intercedes for the people. What do we do, brothers and sisters? We intercede for one another. How can I have malice towards you if I'm expected to intercede for you? How can I have any guile, any evil speaking if I'm interceding for you, I'm praying for you, but I'm ripping you to shreds to somebody else? How? Am I a peculiar people? Am I a holy nation? This is speaking, Israel was a holy nation unto God. He chose them. And they rejected him. They went into bondage and slavery, and they lost their temple. Everything happened through their disobedience. He was a rock of offense to them. He gave them what they needed. They wanted more. Do we want more than what Christ has given us? Do we want more than that? Because if we do, we have to know that what we want is for me. And if I want it for me, I can no longer be a holy nation. I can no longer be a royal priesthood. I can't be called a peculiar people. There's no way. Because I'm not living for him. I'm living for me. And in doing so, dear ones, I become disobedient. A chosen generation is the church today. The New Testament is the church. The lively stones built up together. that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Paul says in Corinthians, he says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." In Colossians, he says the very same thing. He says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." In the kingdom of his dear Son, there is marvelous light, he says here. There is no darkness at all. We've been called out of darkness. We've been called out of malice. We've been called out of evil speakings. We've been called out of hypocrisies and envies. We desire only him. We desire only that light, the one that shines into our hearts, that dispels the darkness, that reveals Jesus Christ to us and gives us the victory. Revealing him to us, we see him on the cross, dying for me. We see him resurrected and on the throne. And dear ones, when we see him on the throne, we have victory. If I don't look at him, I don't have victory. I'll get caught up in my own things. I will get caught up in the things that will literally destroy me. So he said, "You've been called out of darkness. You came out of it." He's exhorting us, dear ones, a conduct, one of love. Love for our Lord. He says, "Which in time past you were not a people, but are now the people of God. Which before we had not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy." Who is mercy given to? Those who seek it. Jesus Christ has never rejected anyone who cried out for mercy unto him. We had a prayer in the morning. The brother prayed. He says that everything we do and say would be done to the unification of the body. The evil speakings must be gone. The malice must be gone. Because what I do and say, I'm going to stay away from those things. And I'm going to root those things out of my heart. So that everything I do and say is for the unification of the body of Jesus Christ. The royal priesthood. The holy nation. I'm a lively stone. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm here to do the Lord's will. And so, dear ones, we're given the charge, an exhortation to holy living. All made possible if we simply lift up our eyes and see the heavenly ruler, our God. We see him. Don't think for a second or a moment that we can't have victory. It doesn't matter what we are embroiled in. It doesn't matter what we're in. When we look up to him and see him and give our hearts to him, we have victory. We have power. There's power on the throne, and we are there. We see him immediately, though, when we are called, as John, immediately he went. In the spirit, he saw him. Dear ones, that is my desire that all of us, in the spirit, will lift up our eyes and see our Lord, who is calling us unto a life that will not stumble on him, not stumble at his precepts, at his will for our lives, but embrace it, live accordingly, lift one another up, instruct one another, teach, admonish. Everything that is needed is done in his in the body, the lively stones built up together. May God bless his word upon each of our hearts in this afternoon. Amen.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. The word of God, we read, is a light. It reveals the truth, who God is, and the two images that were given for us to ponder of the Lord on his throne and the Lord on the cross are very vivid pictures that we are given in the scripture. Even all of creation is full of the wisdom of God, and we can see his handiwork and how marvelous, how wise the Lord is. Creation testifies of God's truth and his light. But it's in the heart of men where the darkness resides. In the heart of men that loved evil and want to protect their deeds rather than have them be corrected and reproved. But Jesus was sent as a light into this world. And as we have learned and received the word, there is a light available for us. It's man's heart that finds it a little bit easier to harbor sin when I don't think about God being able to see or being present. And that's the darkness of the heart that is described here. But we have a light that has come into the world that if we would believe upon him, we should not perish with the world, but that we might be saved. May we embrace that offer and that call to put him first and foremost in our life, that we might find victory, that we might find salvation, and that we might glorify our Father in heaven. May God bless us with that grace. Amen.